Hello, and thanks for coming. I'm here to talk about internal communications at JetBlue today. So I'm sure that probably most of you are familiar with JetBlue, but just a tiny bit of background before I get too deep into the communications weeds. The airline was born at JFK in 2000, and it is a global award-winning travel company. Much more than just an airline. We also have vacations, packages, products, and things like that. But when we first took flight in February 2000, the company was founded on the idea of bringing humanity back to air travel. And before we even had aircraft to fly, our founders chose five values that would inspire our culture and guide the decisions that we make every day. But those five values are safety, caring, integrity, passion, and fun. And they really come through in everything we do at JetBlue. So just to recap the past 22 years, JetBlue is very young by airline standards, but I think we've done a lot. We've grown domestically and internationally. We've added game-changing aircraft to our fleet. We have introduced our premium travel experience, Mint. We've launched two innovative subsidiaries, which I briefly touched on just a moment ago. We have JetBlue Ventures, which invests in startups in the travel space. And we also have JetBlue Travel Products. We've expanded into Europe, too, which is brand new for us. That just started last year when we landed in London. We fly to Heathrow and Gatwick with five daily nonstops from Boston and JFK. So really, to know JetBlue, though, is to know our 24,000 crew members who are the heart of our brand, and they're our greatest asset. They help us deliver the JetBlue experience to more than 40 million customers each year in nearly 100 cities in the U.S., the Caribbean, Latin America, and now Europe. We are New York's hometown airline. We are a leading carrier in Boston, Fort Lauderdale, Los Angeles, Orlando, and San Juan. Coincidentally, those five focus cities are where the majority of our crew members are based as well. So why I'm here is to talk about internal comms at JetBlue. So Hello JetBlue is our company intranet. It has traditionally been the source for all of our internal communications. I've been at JetBlue for about 3 years. I don't know how long Hello JetBlue has been in existence, but for much longer than that. It's gone through a few iterations over the years. And it's been a place traditionally for our crew members where they can read the latest news that comes from my team, the CorpCom team, as well as access the many tools that they need to do their jobs. It houses benefits and payroll information. Lots of training modules live there. And as far as interaction, our crew members can comment on and like posts in Hello JetBlue, but there really is no opportunity for engagement beyond that. They cannot post content. But it's a little bit, you know, it's definitely an old-fashioned medium. It's one that still serves a function, but it really doesn't jive with how our crew members really interact with information every day because, as I'm sure with many of you, most of them don't sit in front of computers all day. Most of them are in airports or on planes, and they're frontline crew members who just really are using phones and tablets for most everything they do. So that's why an app makes sense. But before I get to the app, I just want to cover email. We send a lot of emails, and we used to send them through Outlook. Now we send them through our app on the fly, powered by Dynamic Signal, first up. And the biggest one we send is called Daily News. It goes out Monday through Friday to all 24,000 crew members. And then we also send a lot of weekly work group communications. There's, every Friday one comes out for pilots, that's flight ops. And that sort of thing. So there's one every day of the week for each of our different work groups. We've got airports, customer support, flight ops, which I just mentioned, in-flight, which is our word for flight attendants, system operations, those are the people who tell the planes where to fly, and then tech ops, the teams who actually run the maintenance of the aircraft. And then beyond those, we send a lot of company-wide executive communications, which we call blue notes, and other ad hoc emails on behalf of leaders and teams around JetBlue. So we often send blue notes from our CEO. For instance, we sent one today to, they're written like in the first person, very much in a letter kind of dear crew members format. And the one we put out today was from our CEO, Robin Hayes, about how the Spirit Airlines Board of Directors had voted to approve the acquisition by JetBlue. So this brings me to On the Fly. This is our mobile app. It's available for all of our crew members to download. We also have a public-facing version of it that has some limited external news, but if somebody stumbles upon it in the App Store, it's certainly available. And it has grown really tremendously since we launched it a little like between 3 and 4 years ago. It's now our primary mode of communication with our crew members, and we really rely on it heavily to push out comms, whether they're, you know, just the daily, day-to-day kind of thing or super urgent, more, you know, very, very time-sensitive things. We really, really have come to lean on the fly. So I want to take you through a little bit about how we grew the app. In about 4 years, or like I said, a little under, it's gone from being this optional tool for a small group of crew members to being a must-have for all of our crew members to feel informed and educated and entertained, because like I said, fun is one of our values. So in 2018, that was kind of like the early stages of the app. It began in July, and we piloted On the Fly with a small number of crew members, not pilots, though I used the term. We piloted it with mostly airports crew members. We would hold these in-person events that we called Appy Hours, and we introduced the app to them. We had like snacks and drinks, and we're like, hey, we have this new app. You should download it, and you know, you can get your news that way, find out stuff about what's happening at the company. And so that was kind of like the introduction, and we only had it at a few airports. Then the next year came along. In 2019, we started to really build the audience. We rolled On the Fly out to all of our crew members in the end of 2019, so anybody could download it. And at first, it was still primarily used by our airports crew members, particularly as a way for them to access their work schedules. And by 2020, we were still kind of building up. But then, of course, the pandemic began. So our business changed dramatically, as I know everyone's did. We didn't furlough any of our crew members, which is something we take great pride in, but many of them took opt-out packages, so our workforce shrank as a result. But still, we've seen that downloads were increasing, and the number of the volume of content that we were putting into the app was also increasing. But it was still very much like a one-way street. It was coming from the corporate communications team. And just to give a tiny bit of background, too, about the CorpCom team at JetBlue, we were about 35 people, which I think is a pretty robust team given, I don't know, we're on the small side for an airline with 24,000. But out of the 35 that we have in CorpCom, about half of the team is dealing with external comms, so media-related stuff. And then my side, the internal comms, is, I would say, probably about 17 or 18 people. But it's still a significant amount of people, and we can definitely create a lot of content. Okay, so 2021, last year, was really like a big year for On the Fly. It was the year that I feel like it was pretty much a tipping point for how our crew members used the app. And that largely is due to the fact that we shifted many, if not most, of our email communications. We were pushing them out through On the Fly as newsletters. So we were really abandoning Outlook, and we weren't using it as much as a way to communicate with our crew members. And Then in October 2021, we kind of ripped the Band-Aid off, and we were like, okay, we just have to start sending daily news this way. We can't use Outlook anymore. We're kind of leaning on it as a crutch. But, you know, kind of worried that, like, well, you know, what if the crew members haven't downloaded on the fly? Then they're not going to be able to tap through to read any of the posts. But we just decided, like, it was a necessary step we had to take. And it was the right step to take, because when we did that, it's really when we saw engagement take off in the app. Sorry for all the text on this slide, but I can sort of try to go through it with you guys to show sort of how the number that you're looking at there, that's the active users in the app. So when we started to use the app to send out our daily comms, it really had a direct impact on the number of crew members who use it. As I mentioned, there's 5 times a week, and each issue has between 4 and 6 posts in it. And then if you want to read them in full, you have to tap through and then get to the app like that. But beyond, you know, getting crew members into the app, which has been a huge, huge plus, sending daily news also kind of gave us access to all of this useful data. Obviously, there's so many metrics that you can parse out. And one of the ones that I pay the most attention to, though I feel like maybe a little bit less so now, but in the first year, for sure, I was looking at open rates, which currently hover between 60 and 65%. It also really gave our crew members an enhanced reading experience, because it's optimized for mobile, so there's no more like sort of pinching the way you would when you open your phone and looking at like an Outlook email that just doesn't look great. This is daily news. I run through this next. It'll animate through in a second. But we hold an editorial. We have an editorial calendar where we figure out what we're going to put in daily news. We hold weekly editorial meetings for our internal comms team. And most of the content bubbles up through those meetings, with various members of our team sharing updates from stakeholders around JetBlue. We also have a shared brainstorm doc, and we also field pitches from other teams. About that brainstorm doc, it's very low tech, but it might be something that's useful to you. We use Teams for so many of our communications within JetBlue, and in Teams we have a CorpCom channel, and in that channel we have lots of files, and those files are all just Word docs where, you know, like I said, we have one of them is an ideas brainstorm doc, and anybody on our CorpCom team can pop an idea in there, whether you want to write it or you don't want to write it. If it's something you're curious about, how does de-icing work? How do we come up with our flight numbers? How do we come up with our aircraft tail numbers? What do the designs on our planes mean? Why does it look like that? Where do we get the names from? Any sort of question that you might have that you'd like answered, you can pop into this brainstorm doc, and then my team and I eventually will try to get to it, and you know, if it seems like a good story, we'll dig in. Other docs that we keep in that Teams channel, we have a couple of like how-to cheat sheets, like if we have a new team member or summer interns and they don't know how to send a newsletter, and I know that all of that information does exist on the support site for First Up, Dynamic Signal, but we make it specific to us to sort of like understand exactly how we use it. So that's been super helpful. This is so daily news. That's what a typical issue, I guess you'd call it, installment of daily news looks like. There's a bunch of posts. And then we try to layer in different kinds of content. So it's not just posts that are inserted, but then down here we have more just rich text that our design team has helped me kind of create templates for. We have statistics on how we performed the previous day. And then we have industry news where we talk about other things that are happening around in our industry. I just wanted to take you through a little bit about how I mentioned that we have this ideas doc, and then we have this editorial meeting every week, and we talk about like the sort of stories that we'd like to be covering and the ones that we need to be covering, and you know, oh, we're getting a new aircraft in, or we have a new city that we're launching, or that kind of thing. So the idea is generated, and then the story is written by me or someone on my team. There's a big review process at JetBlue. It has to go through many rounds of approvals and okays by the subject matter experts, whether they're on the network team or the fleet team, or if it's benefits related, legal, whatever it is, lots of sign-offs. And then it's published and on the fly. But that's definitely not the end of it. After it's posted in on the fly, it's picked up and included in daily news, as well as our various work group emails, as I mentioned. So if it's one that has to do with a pilot, maybe it's a feel-good story about a pilot who did something great for a customer, especially like kid-related ones. We like those kinds of stories. Our crew members love those kinds of stories. Then they'll pick it up and they'll put it in their specific newsletter just for that work group. And then it's still not over. We try to use broadcasts a lot, and especially like on a slower news day, maybe, I will push out a broadcast for a post that maybe went live a couple days ago that maybe didn't get quite the engagement or the viewership that I feel like it deserved. Trying to use like really clicky but not overselling language and emojis or whatever it is that might relate to the story. So that kind of covers how content gets into our app from my team's perspective. But the app is really, it has so much more that it can do beyond that. And a big part of that is crew member generated content. So we really, really wanted On the Fly to be a place for not just communications from our team, but also user-generated content. And that's been something that we've been very focused on growing over the last, I would say, 18 months. Crew member picks is one in particular that's gotten a lot of engagement and participation. It's so wonderful to see. It's very easy for crew members to post their own photos. It's just like posting a picture to Facebook or whatever. But we also have these visual how-to guides that they can download if they need to. It's a lot of plane pics. It's a lot of beautiful sunrises, sunsets for people who are out on the ramp working. A lot of crew member photos of, like, you know, a general manager at the Austin Airport's, 10-year anniversary. So they did cake in the break room, like photos, that kinds of thing. And they get so many likes and comments, and it's just wonderful to see that kind of engagement coming. That's very organic, and it's not pushed out by the corporate side of things. And this chart kind of goes through a little bit about the growth that I mentioned. They can post pictures by work group, or they can post them for all crew members to see. And you can see, like, a year ago we had 34 new posts a month, which sounds so sad. Now this average month it gets over 200. The views of crew member pics has jumped, almost doubled. The number of comments almost doubled. Likes has almost tripled. And the number of crew members who actually submit these crew member pics has gone from 34 a month to 168 a month. So definitely there's still lots of room for growth, but you can see that it's on the rise. Oh, just going back for a second, I guess I should have had this slide earlier, but in any case, workgroup-specific comms are the weekly emails that are targeted to different workgroups, and they really do a wonderful job of layering different kinds of visuals, and we have like headers that our design teams help us create for each workgroup, so we have custom newsletter headers. We do, then they'll have posts and then other, like, other content in there. So I think that really helps crew members want to click, because it's just kind of, it's not just all one thing. And one thing that we really try to keep in mind when we're creating content is crew members first. It kind of goes along with JetBlue's ethos. It's a very kind of open, not a very like us, them kind of place. It's very, our CEO is very, and our president, they're really accessible. It's just the kind of place where there's a lot of collaboration and a lot of openness, and not a lot of like sort of closed doors, super, you know, kind of shut off meetings kind of place. So just trying to keep crew members first in mind all the time with everything we do is a big big driver for us. Keeping that in mind, I think post-pandemic, a significant number of our crew members are really new to JetBlue and probably new to the airline industry as well. Most of them have been at JetBlue for less than 2 years. So that means that we can't assume that everyone knows everything. We have to spell out acronyms. The airline industry is rife with them. We have to give backgrounds on topics. We have to link back to earlier posts. Just try to, don't assume that anybody knows anything. This is very easy for me because I never worked in aviation before I came to JetBlue, so I'm usually the one asking the questions, like, what does that mean? And everybody, a lot of the people I work with have been in aviation for years. So they're, as I said, a wonderful group, and they're always willing to explain things to me. But I feel like then it's my job to take it forward and explain this stuff to our crew members as well. On that note, these explainer type stories do really well. One example is how do we come up with our tail fin designs? As I mentioned a couple of these earlier, what goes into creating a flight number? That's actually a really interesting story, one that I definitely did not know, and I learned so much doing that myself. Sometimes there's a very funny story behind your flight number. You might want to, next time you get on a plane while you're going home, take a look at the number and see if you can suss out what might be the meaning behind it. And story on de-icing and how it works. What does a day in the life of a JetBlue recruiter look like? Those have been some of our most recent really fun featurey stories that got a lot of great engagement. I wanted to show you the art in the sky story. This is about our tail fins and how we get these patterns. So here we used the actual gallery to put the content on there. We had to swipe through, and then you would get the actual text was on the slide instead of putting the pictures up top and the story, the content all below, the text all below it. We actually put the text into the slides themselves. Okay, so I guess this brings us to the almost end, and what's next for JetBlue, and what sort of direction we might be able to take the app in going forward. Like I said, we're hiring in record numbers, and we have so many new crew members. We have new crew member resource groups, which are a really awesome thing about JetBlue. We have all these, we call them CRGs. They're completely voluntary, optional groups that we have Jet Pride, for instance, or we have JADE, which is JetBlue African Diaspora Experience, and we have a new one that's just launching, I think, next week called Blue Abilities, and it's for crew members with disabilities. These are all really awesome groups within JetBlue that host discussions and events and support, and just it gives a lot of great opportunity for us editorially as well. Our growing fleet is another sort of direction that I think is another aspect of our growth. JetBlue is bringing on so many new planes and new types of planes, so there's a lot to cover there. We do new videos, video content whenever we have a new plane, a new aircraft type, and our crew members get super excited about it because it's basically, you know, it's their place of work, and they're getting a new place of work, and it's very exciting. So we do a lot of, like, behind-the-scenes stories of photos and videos on those. And then I just wanted to also mention our network expansion. As we announce more destinations, we always are thinking about how we can enhance our crew members' experience because obviously one of the biggest perks of working for an airline is that you can fly anywhere you want to go. So that gives so many great opportunities for us. We have a crowdsourced section of our site that's called Blue City Scout, and it's kind of like TripAdvisor, but just for JetBlue employees. And you can post, you know, restaurant recommendations or whatever, anything about any of our cities, and it's all sort of segmented out by destination. So I think that there's a lot of great opportunities for that as well with our app. And I think that's about it. Thank you.
Thank you so much. And I think everybody's probably going to be Googling their flight number now on the way home
yeah.
to figure out what's going on there.
A lot of times there's not a reason, but sometimes you'd be surprised.
Excellent. So. All right, what questions does everybody have? Yeah.
My name is Amy Mars. I work with Grainger. I wanted to ask, because as I was seeing some of the stories, idea, like I saw something about a terminal change that was coming. Do you ever run into any issues with legal and it being, you know, that need to know information and, okay, we have to pay them because they're reading on their break time or anything like that?
No, I don't think so. I mean, this came up in one of the other sessions that I was attending earlier today about sort of expecting employees to be engaging or just paying attention to work when they're not at work. I mean, we don't ever expect that. Obviously, when there's like sort of need to know things, like let's say you work at JFK and the AirTrain is out of service, it's helpful for us to get that information to you before you come to work so that you can get to work more easily. So things like that. But generally, no, our legal team is not too concerned about like sort of walking the line between a crew member having to consume content outside of their working hours. I don't know. I guess it just doesn't come up.
Hi there. This is Scott. I work at Allbirds and do communications for our retail teams. Thank you for your great presentation. I just noticed you mentioned that you communicate, send a lot of communications five times a week, 4 to 6 a day, I think was the number.
Yeah, yeah.
How do you and your team evaluate what needs to go first and foremost, and how do you kind of manage gulp rate, knowing that there's lots of different things that they're doing in their jobs in addition to receiving the communications that you're sending down? I'd love to maybe unpack that a little bit if you could share some of the things that you do.
Yeah, that's definitely like a bit of a balancing act, and I still feel like it's something that we're fine-tuning. I think that there's different opinions on it for sure in terms of like how much content is too much content. I think that when I'm the one who builds daily news every day, and let's say I've got like 5 stories in the hopper, and usually it's pretty clear which is the lead story. It's the one that impacts the crew members the most, or the one that impacts the most number of crew members, versus, you know, the feel-good story about the pilot who brought the 8-year-old into the cockpit, which is awesome, and people are going to love that. But, like, you should also know that, like, whatever, there's a delay in our new Airbus 220, and the plane's not going to get, you know, we have to change our schedule because this aircraft delivery is delayed. So I feel like try to think about impact, and then there's also like I have a journalism background. I worked in media before I came to JetBlue, and it was very much like that's where I sort of learned the concept of an editorial calendar, and so it's something that we it's very fluid, and it's in teams, and I'm constantly moving stories, being like, I wanted to do that awesome story on Wednesday or put it out on Wednesday, but it turns out that, like, this bigger news is crashing in, so let's move that to Thursday. Just because I wanted to get the eyeballs, but if I do it on Wednesday, it's going to get lost. So I feel like there's definitely a balance. And then as far as over-communication, that's a battle I'm losing at JetBlue. There's just a lot of desire to communicate with their employees, so... Yeah, sure.
Hi, I'm Don with Amazon. I know you mentioned you have a external facing app. I was curious what content you push there and the performance of it.
It's not something that I pay a lot of attention to be honest, because I do internal comms, but it's generally pulled in from our Twitter feed. So it's something that would be external. We're not creating specific content just for the external facing app. It's mostly there just so that we can have something in there. And yeah, a lot of it is pulled from our Twitter feed. I don't know about the metrics. I can look into it for you and get back.
I'm Jennifer Warga with Waste Management. And I was just wondering, on the photos that employees post, do you have to give them any guidelines about things that they shouldn't include? Like, are there concerns about if they take pictures that have customers on them and you don't have a waiver, or
right,
if they take it in the shop and it potentially catches like what looks like a safety infraction?
Sure. Yeah, no, those are good points. It came up in I was having a conversation with someone about this earlier today. We post guidelines in terms of what, you know, sort of what you should be making sure, do's and don'ts. And in general, it's pretty, I feel good about it. When we first rolled the app out, we considered should we have it set up so that everyone, every crew member pick has to be approved first, so that we would see everything before and then say, okay, yes, it's okay to be posted. But we kind of felt like ultimately that was kind of going against the ethos of what I was talking about JetBlue and sort of its culture. So we went ahead and decided to make it a free-for-all, if you will. And largely, it's been a really positive experience. Every once in a while, there'll be something. But I think that most of our crew members are kind of in training, you know, told, like, you know, we never would post a picture of a customer. It's okay to put a customer's first name, not their last name, that kind of thing is totally fine. As far as safety stuff, I think that, like, I have learned so much about safety and vest wearing and all kinds of, like, compliance issues in terms of what your hair can look like if you're a flight attendant and what kind of earrings you can wear. And now I know what to look for. So sometimes, you know, I'll give, like, a heads up to somebody that, like, this photo looks a little bit off, you know, and then they'll check it. And if we have to take it down, we will. But it doesn't seem to happen that often. I feel like our crew members are generally pretty well educated in terms of what's okay and what's not okay.
Thank you so much, Lynn. This was fantastic.
You're welcome. Thank you.
All right. And thank you, everybody, for joining us for all of these breakout sessions.